We'll be in chapter 4 of Ephesians. And again, every time I look at this book, it just enlightens more and more and more, and I love it. And I never did appreciate these letters until in recent years. I've just learned to appreciate them so much more, to give so much more enlightenment. That's just because he's enlightened me more, that I can see more. So everything else is, that's off. Okay, so we start in chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to read it first. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth no more be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speak the truth in love, may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man that is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now let's go back and see what this has for us, because there's a lot of good stuff in there. We all know this is Paul's writing, correct? And he said, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. He could have said very easily, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, couldn't he? He said, I beseech you, or I implore you, or make an appeal to you, that you walk worthy of the vocation. This word walk worthy should really say that you live worthily. See, when he says walk, it's the same word, it means live. It's your walk in life. Okay? That you live worthy to the vocation or the calling wherewith you are called. Okay? So he said, whatever you got, that's what you should do. See, if somebody's destined to be a street sweeper, if they tried to be a CEO of a corporation, do you think that would be right? If that's their calling, they should be a street sweeper extraordinaire. Okay? Shouldn't try to be someplace else just to better yourself, but what does God want out of your life? And I'm going to tell you, you can't ask somebody else what God wants you to do. There's only one person that knows what God wants you to do, and that would be God. So you can't find it from me or anybody else. You've got to find it for yourself. It's inside of you. You need to open it up and find it, don't you? If you can find who you are, every answer is within yourself. See? Just like we say, the acorn doesn't have an oak tree, but it has the forest. It has it all in there. The whole, everything you need, God put inside of you. When he put the spirit of himself in Adam, everything you needed was in that very seed right there, and has been passed through generations and generations and generations, right on down to where we are today. That's God. And all that knowledge is there. That's why it says in 1 John 3:8-9, if you're born of God, you cannot sin, because you're born of God. How many ways you have to hear it before you believe it? See? It is God. Just because we make mistakes, if we don't have the negative to go along with the positive, do we have the complete circle of life? No. See? And all the church wants to do is remove that negative side. I'm not saying remove the negative side. Appreciate the negative, what it's here for. We need that negative side to complete that loop, don't we? To get that cycle of life going. This whole universe is set that same way. So let God be God and do it the way he wants to. I'm not trying to rearrange anything. It'll work. But here he says, to go along with it, wherewith you're called, do it with all lowliness, or that's humility, and gentleness. Not lowliness and meekness, but humility and gentleness. With long suffering, or patience, forbearing, or sustaining, really, one another. Sustaining one another in love. And what is the whole question about everything? What's the substance of everything? Love. What is God? Love. So if you're ripping someone's head off, what part of God are you expressing to them? Huh? Really? Hey, come on. You're negating the very... See, it's an oxymoron to say, I love God, I'm a good person, I'm a Christian, or whatever they want to call themselves. We're just children of God. But they say you're a child of God, but they're not acting like God. They're like some stepchild running around, or some... orphan running around, don't know who your parent is, and that's what we're doing. When we're doing them things contrary to the nature of God, we're actually acting like orphans. We don't know who our parents are. Right? Yeah. That's what we're doing. So we need to understand, if our God is love, then we need to see how much more we can be like our Father, don't we? Just that simple. Didn't say easy, I said simple. Know what it is, we've got to get there.
I understand that, because how can you say your God is love, but then in the next sentence you have to fear him?
Mm-hmm.
You can't fear love.
No. See, that word is mistranslated at fear God, because God never told us to fear. That's man's translation. It's to reverence him. The word is literally reverence, not fear. So if we hear that with our understanding today, when they say fear, ooh, you're scared of something. Yeah. And no, it's a reverence. I reverence my Father. I don't fear him. Why would I be afraid of the one who created me and loves me? See?
Honor and respect
him. Honor and respect him. See? No problem there. Verse 3 goes on saying, enduring, or making an effort to keep the unity or the oneness of the Spirit in the bonds of what?
Peace.
And actually that word bond there, it's a uniting principle. Keeping the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting principle of peace. If you're at peace, what problem would you have with uniting?
None.
Take a husband and wife. How much uniting is there when there's no peace in the house? There ain't much uniting, is there? Okay. Everybody goes their own corner, you know. See, because there's fights. So if we get this uniting principle of peace in us, there's no issues. See, there's no issues. The only issue there should be in our life is Christ. Period. End of story. It's that simple. Didn't say easy again. I said simple. Verse 4 goes on and said, there is one body, one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope or one expectation of your calling. He didn't call you to be three or four things, did he? He called you to be one. One expectation. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And see, many people believe in this polytheistic believing there's all kinds of gods. No. There's one. There's one that did it all and is doing it all. Who is above all and through all and in you all. See, that shows he's hillbilly too. Y'all. Yeah. But to every one of us is given grace. What is grace? Divine influence in the heart of man and a reflection into your lifestyle. So what God's got in you should be coming out of you. Okay? According to the measure or the degree of the gift of Christ. Now, what did he give you? I don't know. I can't identify everything he gave you, can I? You know who has to identify it? You do.
When it's revealed to you.
You have to do the digging. You have to dig in this earth and find out the treasure that's in this earthen vessel, don't you? See, it's not my place. I don't have a badge. I don't have some pointy hat on or anything, and big long robes or anything to tell you anything. I'm not some magician. I'm just here as your brother to tell you God loves you, and he wants you to find it out yourself. And when you work out your own deliverance with us all in respect of your Father, guess what? It'll come out. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about being condemned or anything, because there's no condemnation in Christ. Just be yourself. If God wanted you to be a dog and bark, you should be barking. Just that simple. And there are some that's created negative, you know, for a reason. And he loves them just as much, but they had a negative job to do, and we got a positive job. That's all. And sometimes I think the church, and I'm saying the church, is got more negative in it than it has anything else. Okay? But they think they're positive. But their thinker's broke. Okay. Verse 8. Wherefore, or let's say it another way, that's why he said, okay? That's why he said, or it should say this, that's why the psalmist said, is what it literally says here. That's why the psalmist said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity, or he took captivity captive, and gave a gift to humanity. Now, I want to take you to Psalm 68, verse 18. And that's what he's quoting here. Psalm 68, 18. Because if we just read the English rendering of this, we're not going to get the true meaning of what he's talking about. So when he makes a reference to a passage of the Old Testament, we got to go back here and see what that passage says in context. Okay? Actually, I might read 17 to start it off. Okay? The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive. But what it should say is this: you have taken captive the captured. You have taken captive the captured. Does that tell you something? We've all been captured by the ignorance of our own minds. And he said, I went and took captivity captive. It's like he went and captured the ones that were in there and just took them out, you know. But he said he took the ones that had been captured. And that's what the language really says. He took the ones... Beg pardon?
He destroyed the carnal mind.
That's exactly what he did. He took care of that carnal mind. He took the captives, the ones that were captured by this carnal mind, and he took them captive into the what? Mind of Christ. And you have received gifts for men, and literally it should say you've received offerings of humanity or from humanity, even for the rebellious also, that the Lord God, and that's Yahweh Elohim, permanently dwell in them. What's he talking about? What he was doing was he was talking about he made the changeover. He took care of this thing here. Where did that take place? On a hill called Golgotha. Yeah, but it was on a hill called Golgotha. It was talking about taking care of this mind thing. He said, I'm doing this. He received those offerings for us. Okay? and that the Lord God dwell permanently in them. I like that word permanent. See, and it's never in the writings, but it's there in the language to dwell permanent. Because so can you really be without God?
But I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
He said that in the Old Testament. I'll never leave you or forsake you. So we need to understand those little details like that they leave out. And that's that, we'll get to that in a minute, what they're doing. But that's the things that we don't have those little keys that unlock the rest of our mind to just let us go to peace. When we know that He's there permanently, I don't have to worry about Him running off and leaving me, do I? Even if I'm stupid enough to make mistakes, He still didn't leave me. He didn't leave me out there in the desert to die.
Even if we're not faithful,
He is
faithful to Himself.
Because He cannot deny Himself. And we're His children, that's part of Him. See, that's where we have to go. Okay, we can go back over to Ephesians 4 and 8 again. Or 9 now. It says in verse 9, "Now he that ascended," what is it in the word "but" there should be except that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. You remember it said that in Proverbs, it said he to the lowest parts of the earth before they were formed, he was there. What do you think the lowest parts of the earth is? Well, it's the Adamic nature, because the word right there is Adam. The lowest parts of the earth, the word there, earth, is Adam. So it's talking about he descended into this, into our humanity. That's what he was talking about, putting us into our humanity. Well, that's humanity. Then we're made from the dust of the earth. And that's what he was telling us. And then verse 10, it goes on and says, "The one that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens in order that he..." Cross out that word "might," because it's not supposed to be there. Have you got a word "might" in there? That's a doubt word to start with. Do you think he went through all of this and set all this up over the eons that he might fill all things? Just maybe he might do some of it? Come on. But cross out the word "might" and it says "fill all things." Cross out the word "things" on the end. It says going to fill all. A-L-L.
We must have talked about this before.
Oh, we have before, yeah. Okay. Verse 11. "And he gave some apostles." An apostle is one that's sent with orders. Okay, so some of them he's going to send with orders to do certain things. "And some of them are prophets." Now, and this word "prophet" here speaks to someone that interpreters of the Scripture. One who can sit down and hear what the Spirit is saying to pass it on to everybody else.
A mediator?
No, an interpreter. Not a mediator is someone gets between two and kind of settles things out. And kind of in a sense, yes, but this one it says just he interprets it. Because a mediator will make recommendations and to work things out. I'm not making any compromise. I'm just telling you, this is what Father's saying, and that's it. And you know, we can discuss it, but we can't change anything. We got to know what His pattern is. Okay? "And some evangelists," that's preachers of the good news, and I'm going to tell you, there's very few of them today. Because they don't know what the good news is. The good news is all is going to be there. See, they don't know that. "And some are pastors," and that's the word "shepherds," okay? "And teachers." Now, let me do something here real quick. I want to read this out of the Living Bible because I think this is a very good rendering out of the Living Bible. Sometimes, I was told years ago that the Living Bible was just a curse, you know, because it just wasn't exactly the way the King James was. Well, thank God for that. Because in the terms of the way we speak today, but sometimes they're much closer to the original language than King James ever got close. But when you go back and look through the Greek and Hebrew, you'll find a lot of times the Living Bible is right on the course. Right on. Okay. Ephesians 4. And what verse are we in? 11. Okay. There it is. "Some of us has been given special ability as apostles. To others has been given the gift of being able to preach well. Some have special ability in winning people to Christ, helping them to trust Him as their Savior. Still others have a gift for caring for God's people as a shepherd does his sheep, leading and teaching them in the ways of God." saying it very eloquently and very plainly. King James, sometimes the way they speak, it's so foreign to the way our minds function with the language we hear. We get all kinds of weird thoughts about the words, but says it pretty good. And there's a couple verses in here. I'm going to keep that for that very reason. Okay, no one's questioning anything, so I guess we're doing good, right? Okay, verse 12. For the perfecting or the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He said that's what he gave those gifts for. He gave them to different responsibilities to those different people that he chose before the foundation of the world. And in Ephesians 1, it says, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So he made his choice what he wanted ones to do. It's not my choice. It's not your choice. Our choice is only one thing that God wants from us. What is it?
Obedience.
That's it. Okay? And if I just do what I'm told, remember he said, if you give someone a drink in the name of a prophet or the nature of a prophet, you'll have a prophet's reward. So it's not whether you get to do more. If God gives me more responsibility, it's just more responsibility. It doesn't mean if he gives me 100 things to do and I do 99 of them, and God gives you one thing to do and you do it, who gets the better reward?
I do.
The one who did the one thing did everything God required you to do. See, I would still be not complete in my journey. See? So it's not about how much you're doing, it's are you doing what he wants you to do? So to know that, guess what you got to do? You got to be able to hear his voice. And the only way you're going to do it is spend some time with him. He's not going to come out with a big megaphone and say, hey, down there. You know, because he ain't up there anyway. He's in here. Okay? Yes, sir.
The edifying of the body of Christ.
Yep.
And maybe the building up.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like building a house.
Just keep putting it together till you get it to the top. Put the roof on and now you're in comfort.
It goes right along with encouraging. And
all that goes right along with it.
Supporting and helping them at correcting.
Mm-hmm. See, a lot of people don't see correcting as a edification, but it is. God said he corrects those he loves.
It's done in love.
Sure it is. If it's done that way, it is. But, you know, a lot of people do it as a control or a manipulation to try to correct you.
Yeah.
It's all about attitude. Yeah. It's all about the attitude. In verse 13 it says, not till, but it should be until. All these things we've said before, until we all, how many? Till we all come or arrive or attain to the unity or the oneness of the faith and of the knowledge, the precise correct knowledge is what it should say, till we come to that precise correct knowledge of the Son of God. So what do we got to do? We got to maintain these things till we come to that precise correct knowledge. See, everybody has some kind of knowledge of God. But is it precise and correct? What would be your answer to that?
Yeah.
No way. See, I'm going to tell you, we don't even know the totality of the correctness and preciseness of the nature of God. But we're learning more every day.
We're going the right direction.
See? We don't know it all yet, but we're going to get there. It's in there, but we haven't remembered everything that we have. See? We don't remember everything just yet, but we're going to. To a perfect man or a complete man or a correct man, okay? To the measure or the required, that word measure of the stature should say the required maturity. Till we come to the required maturity that God has set for you. When he chose you for a certain position or a responsibility in life, that's what he wants. Required maturity is what it should say. Come to that requirement, what he requires. Just like if I'm going, like you're going to college, Shannon. You have a requirement to fulfill that college education, right? Well, these two sitting over here are in school. They don't have the same requirement as you do, do they? See, so they have a different requirement of maturity than you do. See, and everybody's the same way. And that's what's wrong with the world. Everybody tries to draw a line down the center of the world and make everybody come to that center line. We all can't stand in one place anyway. See? We can all be alike, but we can't stand on that same center line. Everybody's got to go where God wants you to be. That's all. No one can control you. It said he bought you with a price. You're not your own. So who's anybody got the right to tell you anything? Right? Okay. Where did I leave off? 14. Okay, well, I didn't finish that last little teeny bit of there. Verse 13. It says, unto the required maturity of the fullness of Christ. Okay? So when we to come to that required maturity for the fullness of Christ for my life, that's what I got to go to. Now we go to 14. In order that, cross out that word henceforth because it's not there. In order that we be no more children. Now word children right there is the word nepios, which means, and this is right in the Greek language, it says a non-speaking, simple-minded, immature Christian. That's what it says.
A baby.
A non-speaking, simple-minded, immature Christian. It says we don't want to be that anymore. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the slight or the deceptiveness of humanity, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. See,
that's your
religious system today. They're laying in wait to deceive you. They'll tell you anything to get your money. Anything to get your money. But then Paul says, but, that's a connecting conjunction too, but speaking the truth in love, the word may. Do you have the word may there? Do you know what that word should be? W-E. What is that? But speaking the truth in love, we grow up into Him and all. Who's supposed to be doing the growing? We are. That word may, see, takes you plumb off the responsibility of you and me of growing. They just take all those little things and hide them. In all which is the head, even Christ. We're going to 16. It says, from out of whom the whole body organized, it says fitly joined together, should be organized compactly and compacted or united through what? Every joint's contributions, what it should say. Every joint's contribution. So each and every one, just like when we started out today, we all started talking. And we got on some subjects of earthly things, and then we started talking more scriptural stuff. But when we got in there, everybody was putting something in, weren't they? And see, that's part of the body, putting everything jointly fitted together, supplying the needs that we have. To understand each other. You understand something that I don't understand, and I understand something you don't understand. So we get together, we share it, guess what we do? We're all united into one. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about everybody getting in the same building and everybody holding hands and doing all kinds of silly stuff. He's talking about us growing in our understanding of how life is and what God wants out of us or requires of us. That's what it's all about.
Communion.
It's communion, yep. It says every joint contribution according to the efficiency in the measure of every part makes increase or growth of the body to the edifying of itself. The body edifies what? Itself in what?
Love.
Okay. So if we don't do these things and we aren't being these things that God has told us we are, you don't have to become something. You was a son of God the day you were created. You were just a baby son.
You just need to love what you are.
And you need to mature and grow up. And accept the fact that God made you as you are and love yourself and you don't have any issues. People will have issues with you, but that's immaterial. That's immaterial because God said you can't fail. It's an impossibility. If you know these things, hey, you can walk through life and smile while the systems are crashing around us and we have nothing to worry about. When all the curses came upon Egypt, when the Jews were in Egypt with Pharaoh, what happened to the people that was in Goshen? How about that? See? We can walk through it. We don't have to carry the curses of the world. If you want them, you can pick them up and carry them, but they'll crush you. You know, they'll get you. You can have all them curses that they had, but we don't have to have them. See? We have a shield that we can wear. Christ. Okay? Verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth or no longer live as other Gentiles live, in the vanity or the depravity void of truth of their minds." You don't have to live in that depravity anymore. That fear and condemnation and guilt and all the things that they want out of the world. They expect God to give us all this natural stuff. It's not about natural stuff. When you find out who you are, everything will flow to you because you are the center. Because God is you. God will take care of Himself, won't He? You don't have to worry about anything. Some people won't understand those words I said, and they hear this tape or something, they'll be, I don't care. Speak it, it's the truth in love, and let the chips fall where they may. Well, whatever. I don't. That's not my department to make it. That's hers. Okay. In the vanity of their minds, having the understanding. Notice it said having the understanding, not it just plain understanding, but the ultimate understanding. What would that be? What would it be, Tom? What's the ultimate understanding?
I can't fail.
The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. You can't fail with that. See, it's the mind of Christ. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated, or the word alien there is estranged from the life of God. Being estranged from the life of God through what? Ignorance. Boy, there's a whole bunch of them estranged, ain't there?
Separated.
They're separated from God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness or the stupidity or hard-headedness, okay? Or the hardness of their, not their heart, but their minds. Because they're too hard-headed to give up and they don't want to say, I could have been wrong. And I'm going to tell you right now, you will never come to the knowledge of the complete truth until you can say to yourself, I could be wrong.
Is it because they're caught up in the external and not the internal?
Well, they're caught up in pride. That if they would have to admit they were wrong, and they can't do that.
Didn't you meet somebody once that said, oh, that stuff makes a lot of sense, but I've invested too much?
Oh, yeah. The people came from China. They come right in this room, and that one guy came that night, and he said, in fact, he was offended by what we were talking. That was when Larry and them guys came from India. Well, it was India. Yeah, it was not China. It was India. And all of them stayed and talked except the one guy who was originally from Cincinnati. And whenever they all went to bed about 3 in the morning, he got up. And just as I was coming down the hallway, he stopped me and said, can we talk? And he said, let's go out and fellowship. You know, I said, okay. So we come out here and he said, you know, I'm hearing two voices in my head. And he was being as completely honest as I believe anybody could have been. He said, I'm hearing two things in my head. I'm hearing what you're saying, and inside of me I'm saying, yes, this is right, but I'm hearing this other voice saying to me, but you've invested too much, you can't give this up. I mean, he was just being totally honest. He wasn't lying. He was being honest with me. And he said, I don't know what to do. And I said, that's your call.
I think that's what most preachers in the pulpit.
Sure it is. They've heard some truth, but they would have to give up their, maybe tell the truth and maybe lose their job. And so their paycheck is more important than that. And see, I never did do this for a paycheck. Never got a paycheck. Don't ask for one. Don't want one. See, I want to tell the truth. And I've said this for years. You can ask Lois. I would pay people. And basically sometimes it's been that. I would pay people to come and listen if they would listen. Not just to come in to pay them, you know. But I'd pay them if they would actually listen and let it change their life. Because they wouldn't accept it very long anyway once they found out the truth. But that's the way I feel about it. I've never seen that I have to make a big living out of it, like these people begging for millions of dollars and still begging for dimes, alpha people that can't afford to give their dime. And it's just not right in my book. And they can do what they want, but that's not right for me. Okay, where'd I leave off there? 18? 19, yeah. Who being past feeling or being callous or apathetic, is what it should say, being callous and apathetic, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, and that speaks of unbridled lust of the world, of things in the world, to work all uncleanness with greediness, or greedy desire to have more. And I know lots of people that have so much stuff that they could never spend it in their lifetime, except they don't own it, it owns them. See, God doesn't care how much you got. You could have billions of dollars if you used it properly and shared it, and that's what the purpose you have it for, to share and help other people. And we just talked about that earlier, and we're going to talk about it more probably yet. So that's why we have it, so we can share and help other people. Some people don't have the capacity to get to anything with very much finances in life. So if we can get ahead, why can't we help them, right? I mean, that's only the right thing to do. So, but some people can never get enough, and they can have millions of dollars sitting on it and still begging. Like the guy begs over at the corner by Osco. The guy's got a house down here, and a buddy of mine delivers fuel to him. He's on the system getting check of assistance and out there every day begging money, and he makes hundreds and hundreds of dollars every day, just puts it in his pocket and gets all that free assistance out of our tax dollars. And they won't do anything about it. Well, we can't prove it. You can see him standing there doing it. Yeah, come on. You can sit there with a calculator and count the dollars and the tens and the twenties they're throwing out at him every day of ignorant people throwing it to him. So, neither here nor there. I ain't going to get into that. Okay, but look at verse 20. But you have not in this way learned Christ. See, all these things. See, that's not about Christ. With having this darkened understanding and ignorance and blindness of your mind and your having unbridled lust of the things of the world and being callous or apathetic. Or wanting everything in excess and greedy desire to have more. Said, you've not learned Christ this way, have you? Was Christ that way? He never took anything. He just had the clothes on his back. That's all he had. Verse 21 goes on and says, if indeed you have heard him, if you have heard him, you have heard him. Not heard somebody tell you. Have you heard him? Didn't Jesus say in John 10, my sheep hear my voice and the voice of another, they will not follow? And have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off or put away concerning the former, not conversation, but lifestyle, the old man or the old humanity, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts or the delusions of our desires. If your desire is great, just let's say like a drug addict, they have this great delusion that if they take this pill, life will be great. See? It's a great delusion of our desire. See, we have a desire to live comfortably and everything, but we take the wrong way to get there. You want to get there, you find it in yourself, not in a pill, not in a shot, not with a needle pumped full of drugs in your arm. You've got to come to peace within yourself, and when you do, everything's fine. And you'll be able to deal with it. That doesn't say you won't have any struggles. If I had a dollar for every time somebody said, well, you and Lois never have any struggles, why, you, no wonder you can do it. Walk in our shoes for a while. Just take a walk in our shoes. Okay, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What are we talking about? The mind of Christ. See? Put on the mind of Christ. And then notice he said, renewed. What's that tell you?
You had to be new.
To be renewed. You had to have it to start with, or it couldn't be renewed. You have the capacity there, but you got to knock the dust off of that thing so you can get to the reality of it. And that you put on the new humanity, which is according to God, is created in righteousness and true holiness, or the truth. It's created in truth. So how do you get this new man lined out?
In truth.
See? Didn't Jesus say, I am the truth? See? Peter said in 1 Peter 1:23, he said, we're born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. It's hearing the truth that God loves you no matter what. There's no conditions involved in this thing. Just like all these little things I've showed you today that have been hidden, these little truths about it's we, it's not may, it's we. It's my responsibility, it's your responsibility. All these little things we put together, when we hear this truth, that's what brings us to the understanding of the mind of Christ. It's not about, can I cut somebody's grass or wash their car or clean their house? That's not going to bring you there. You can't earn it by working, can you? It's coming to the peace in your mind to know that I have nothing to worry about. And when you do, guess what? Then you will cut people's grass and wash their cars and clean their houses, because that's the love and the nature of God He's going to give you to do. But that don't earn it. You'll do that because that'll be your nature, to give and to work and do for people. Don't do it because you're trying to earn something. That's what He's trying to tell us. Okay, verse 25. Wherefore, put away lying. Wow, that's a good one. You know how many people lie? Naturally, even science has proved this, that nearly every human on face earth will lie somewhere in their life. You know, out of necessity. Some people lie because they just enjoy it. They'd rather stand on their head in the middle of a freeway naked and tell a lie than to stand flat-footed here completely fully clothed and tell the truth. They would do anything not to tell the truth. Just you don't understand what drives them, but that's what they do. But put away lying. And you know, we have to understand what a lie is. What is a lie? Anybody got an idea?
Well, but you're afraid that to tell the truth, they're not going to like it.
See, there's fear in there, isn't there? It's fear-based. Sometimes lying has a form of honor and respect. Because some people lie to you because they see you in a better place than they are, and they want to try to come up to where you're at, so they'll tell them lies to say, get themselves on the same level. There's a lot of things about lying that they don't understand. But I've got this thing about lying. I've got some things hanging on my board in the office. It says, get back to it again. You lie the loudest when you lie to yourself. Yeah. And the thing about the respect thing, you know, you're kind of showing a form of respect to somebody. You're showing honor to someone when you lie to them because you're saying, you're more superior than I am. See? Why not just tell the truth? It'll work out. Don't worry about it. Let it go. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, because we are members of one body. Now this next one, verse 26, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now I'm going to read this to you out of the Living Bible, because this is another pretty good rendering out of the, come on pages, I think I got two pages stuck together here, there they go. What did I do? I turned the wrong page. Okay.
Now, what if, on the previous verse there, what if your neighbor is not a Christian?
What difference does it make?
I don't know. It just says here that we're members one of another.
Okay. But we were in the same position, huh?
We're
all one in God, see? So it doesn't make any difference. It didn't say Christian neighbor.
I mean, it's reconciliation.
Sure it is. We're all one.
I mean, how many decades have we read over this? And
didn't pay attention to it. See, because He hadn't given us the ability yet to get there. But now He's letting us see something because it's time. It's time to do it. Okay, let me read this 26 in the Living Bible. It says, if you are angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, it is. Don't nurse your grudge. Don't cultivate that tree of knowledge of good and evil, you know. You get there and dung around it, pass a little crap around the tree.
Huh? Put a little bit of Miracle-Gro.
Yeah, put a little bit of dung around it and heal it up and you cultivate a little bit and just keep telling everybody about everything everybody done to you.
Oh, God.
Okay, I just thought you might relate to this. It goes on and says, don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Now, get over it quickly. See, it's not about the physical sun going down. It's that little last little piece. Get over it quickly. You know, anybody can be offended, you know, surprised with something and have a little bit of emotion on it. That's not a problem. But holding on to it and cultivating it and making it a big issue in your life, that's a problem. Because if you cultivate it, it's going to produce fruit. Whatever you cultivate. And if you cultivate this grudge of anger towards somebody, it's going to create more anger. It will not bring anything profitable in your life. Promise you. That's what I wanted to show to you. Yeah. have a real short memory, get over it, and go move on down the road. That's the way you got to do it.
They say don't let the sun go down.
That's right. That was just a saying. It just meant get it over with. But see, the Living Bible brings that out where most of them don't. Okay, verse 27. Oh, here's a good one. Neither give place to the devil. You know that cat with the horns and the pitchfork and the pointy tail? No. That devil right there, that word devil is diabolos, and it means the accuser or the slanderer.
That's a fruit from verse number
20. Yeah, you cultivate and that cat will be right there, I guarantee you, right between your ears. Huh? That devil. But see, it's all in your mind. And if you let that, if you believe in your mind that there's this creature running around with the pitchfork and everything, and you'd be surprised how many people in the church believe that. But they're giving him the place of God to be omnipotent.
They are. They don't think about it.
No.
And if you're saying this thing can steal a soul, take you, fight, you're
away from God.
Just as strong as God.
He's stronger than God because he took it away from him.
Right.
Say, nah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. They're not thinking. People, when they go to church, and that's why you don't see a garbage can out there in the foyer. I would prefer you keep your brain in and turn it on and function with it and think, you know. In most churches, they want you to leave your brain out there. Leave it in the car if you want to. Don't bring it in. Because then you might challenge them in some of their doctrines as false anyway. See? Hey, you got to think. The little boys are in the bathroom. Okay, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things good, in order that he may have to give or to share to him that needs. So what's he telling you your purpose of working for? Obviously, it's so you can have food and shelter and clothing, right? But if you have excess, what's excess? What's it for? To help someone else that's in need. See? I don't need to have, I used to have, you know, 27 socket sets and 15 shovels and 26 hammers, and I started giving them away. I'm not going to use them. I couldn't wear one of them out in my lifetime. Is that right, Tom?
You used to have 50 pairs of socks. Now yeah. You only got 25.
There you go. I'm cutting down. Hey, if you cut out 50% of your stuff, how much better would you be? See? There you go. You're getting better, ain't you? But, you know, give the stuff away. There's no need. And see, I mean, I could have kept that stuff and said it could sit here until I pass away and then somebody have to come in and haul it out and give it away. Give it to somebody that needs it, that can use it. I don't believe in just sitting out there and say, take it, anybody wants it. But I find people that need it, and it never fails when I find somebody that needs something to give it to them, somebody gives me something else. And I'm right back where I am, but I give it away. But I have got a lot of things. My building up there is pretty well cleaned out. My garage is pretty respectable now because I just don't need all this stuff, and it's just going to hang there and do nothing anymore. There's a few things I use. The rest of it, just don't need it. It looks good when you walk in there, but I'm not going to use it. So I find people that need things and say, here, take it with you. Had somebody say, here, well, can I leave it here till later on? I said, nope. If you don't take it now, it won't be here when you get back. I'll find somebody else. I give it away because I don't want it here. Yeah, get rid of it. But people are funny. Okay, verse 29. Here's a good one. Another one of those little hidden nuggets. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That word communication, do you know what it is?
Pollution.
Huh?
Pollution.
No, it is polluting, but it's not it. The word is actually logos.
That
means the word word. Okay, but there's two words for word. There's rhema and logos. Rhema is the letter of the word. Logos is the spirit of the word. So when he says, let no corrupt word of God come out of your mouth, that makes a big difference, don't it? He's not just talking about just words. He's talking about the word of God. Don't speak corruptly the word of God. That means you got to spend some time with God and hear what he says so you'll know how to rightly divide that word and speak it to somebody else to bring life to them. Because if you give them something that's corrupted, something that's not pure, you're not going to give them life, you're going to give them death.
That goes right along with 2 Timothy 2:15.
Study to show yourself approved?
Right after it, saying, I say, but... study, show yourself approved, a worker that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing your act, handling the word of truth, but shun or avoid profane and vain babbling.
Right.
Because it increases into more ungodliness.
There you go.
Its words does he as a canker or gangrene. See, this stuff.
Same thing.
It'll eat you up.
It sure will. Same thing. It says, but that which is good to the use of edifying, say, if it doesn't edify, what's the point? To condemn somebody, to manipulate somebody, to scare somebody, I'm sorry, that's not right, that it may, and cross out the word may, because that ain't there either, that it give, not minister, but give grace to the hearers. Not that it might, but it'd give. Say, I'm going to come and give you, whatever I speak, I'm giving it to you for one reason, to give you grace. That's all. See, not that it might be. I'm giving it to you. What you do with it is up to who? It's up to the individual. And if God wants you to have it. If God wants you to have it, you're going to get it. Pure and simple. So I don't worry about the rest of it. That's up to Him. You know, He said, some water and some sow, right? Some sow, some water, but God gives the increase. That's all up to Him. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by which you are sealed to the day of redemption. Did it say you may be sealed? Who is sealed?
See? It's past tense. It says,
yeah, you were already sealed. See? It's already a done deal. Can you fail? You can't.
That's what your belt button's for. That's a mark.
Yeah. Sealed it right up where everything just run out.
So is there any special meaning if you're an innie or an outie? You're sealed.
As long as it's not leaking, you're okay. Okay. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, and that's outcries in grief. Woe is me, having a pity party. And evil speaking, and that literally, evil speaking is literally slander, be put away from you. Along with all what? Evil, ill will, or desire to injure somebody. You know how many people speak with the words they speak, they plan for them to injure somebody?
Yep.
They do it all the time. He said, that's the things that we can't do. And we all know people that speak that way. And yet they're the best Christian in the world.
Brings years of separation.
Yep. If it's not uniting, it's not God.
Mm-hmm. You can't do it.
No, you can't. You don't have the capacity. And if you would even slip up and say something malicious to hurt somebody, it would bother you so much that you'd have to go back and repent of it. You would. You'd have to go apologize to the person. You'd have to. I mean, eventually you'd just have to say something that'll go nuts. Or you'd have to make your mind so callous you're never going anywhere else. Okay?
It says the anger or the bitterness or pain, hurt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they'll eat you up. Okay. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, and that word tender-hearted literally means compassionate or sympathetic, forgiving one another, just as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Did we do anything that God should forgive us? I didn't do anything. Huh? Them doing. That's kind of like somebody made it up, but.
But that, I mean, that's more or less what they're saying.
Kind of in theory, it is.
Well, God's in control, so if He's in control, then why do we have to? Why is there forgiveness? I mean.
Well, because if you don't forgive, you can't fulfill it. I mean, we all got a journey we're going on.
I thought you meant Him.
He forgave us for Christ's sake, so we are to forgive our brothers and sisters no matter what. See, where is it? I can't think of the other passage now.
If you don't forgive, you cannot forgive them.
That's what it says. Yeah, because you're going to condemn yourself. Eventually, that condemnation is going to come back on yourself.
I think people, when they say forgiven, they think it's making everything okay.
It don't.
You can forgive it, but you don't have to condone it. Then you don't need to put yourself in that position to experience it again.
Yeah. You don't have to forgive it.
You can you'll never forget it.
But you don't have to say, yeah, it's okay, you know,
no.
You're doing it.
No, it wasn't okay, but it was an experience you needed in your life. It's not okay to do it again, but it's an experience you learned from. It was a good thing. It was. I'll say it. I don't even like to say that. It's a God thing. Everything that happened, all those bad things we slip up and do, they're part of the God experience, the negative and the positive. They have to come together and know that that's okay. It's not okay that you did it, but it's okay that you learned from it. Just don't do it again. Go on. I liked what Eleanor Roosevelt said. You know, learn from other people's mistakes because you won't live long enough to make them all yourself. And it's the truth. You know, if you can see what somebody else... And isn't that exactly what Paul told us? And Jesus told us the same thing too. Follow me. Paul said, mark them who follow Christ and follow him, follow them. See? So if you do what he did, if you follow him in the way he's doing his course on this life, what would your life be like, Tom?
Pretty good.
It'd be pretty good. You'd catch a lot of flack, but you know what? It'd be pretty good. You'd be okay. See, so all we have to do is follow Christ or follow those that are following Christ, get in line and go right on with it. See? Don't worry about what anybody thinks about you, because it's not important what they think. It's more important what God thinks about you. And if you know God loves you, what else matters? Can anybody come up with something better than that? I can't. So, hey, bless God for it, that he's given us enough understanding, we understand that. I don't care what anybody else thinks about me. I mean, I would like everybody to like me, but I know it's not possible.
We all know that they don't.
And yeah, I know that. It's okay. There's lots of them don't like me, but it's okay. My big brother, they didn't like him either. And I got a younger brother that didn't like me because I said that. Bless his heart. He's messed up too. But thank God, one of these days they're going to be glad that... And I told him the truth about reconciliation, and he went to his pastor, who is a very big name in the ministry and at the time, and he said he waited until he did. He wouldn't really say much. He just listened, and when we all got together, he said, hey, Dave was telling me everybody's going to make it. There ain't no hell. And he had a real smooth response to that. You know what he said? He said, well, it's a radical truth. Yeah. Oh, it's radical in his thinking.
Radical truth.
Yeah, it's a